We live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
Yeah, we alive.
We alive. Yeah, hallelujah. And Radio Land, amen. Welcome to our family. Yeah, today my members have been standing up for a minute. Hallelujah. Praise Him. We welcome you today. Amen. I'm telling you, we're about to shout up in here. That's why I'm taking I'm about to shout up in here. Glory to God. Welcome to Unfailing Love Ministries Radio Land. Hallelujah. Whether you listen live or archive, welcome to the Love Zone. We've been here about a half an hour, and we've been giving testimony and praise unto the Lord and testifying. Amen. Amen. You know, telling of overcoming of some things and how God, you know, blessed us to wake up in our right mind and to get up off of bombs, amen, and still talk about and jumping out of the airplane, all the things that God has saved us from, all the things that God has delivered us from, all the things that God has blessed us with, amen, and how He restores us. And so we want you to know that we are absolutely certain that because you're listening to this broadcast that God has done something for you. Amen. Yes. The fact that you can even hear that means that God has blessed you with some hearing. Amen. God has blessed you. Amen. We have to learn how to give God thanks for everything. The Bible says in all things give thanks. Amen. Yes. What you got left? And you got one eye, thank God for the eye that works. Amen. You got one leg, thank God. You got no leg, thank God for him. You can figure out how to, you know, see that God is still blessing you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we love the Lord. Before our leadership lesson, which you'll get a chance to hear, we're going to have our daughter to come and give the welcome. After that, we'll have a selection by our worship leader. And then the following voice you will hear will be our leadership lesson from Reverend Douglas Spool. Amen. And now our welcome. And now our welcome. Hallelujah. Glory to God by our young lady. She's so pretty. Amen.
Welcome to the lesson. I hope you
guys enjoy. Why you want us to have a good service? Because it glorifies God, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Tell the people we're going to glorify God today.
Welcome to the lesson. We're
going to
glorify God today. And I hope you
enjoy. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. You're turning up our young people to serve the Lord, so thank you for your patience and they get their confidence up. Amen. Amen. We'll be blessed with some worship songs now and worship with us. Amen. Glory be to God. We invite you to do so. And now with Sister Patrice. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, you can sit and do whatever you need. Because our mama is in waiting. And I pray she just wait until the service is over to drop.
Thank you.
Thank you, my Lord.
Do things in order,
for the writer says, and you know the word Luke on this too. So when Luke was, you know, it's like when he up there talk, everybody listen. But Luke, the writer was saying, this is about a father who was very wealthy, and his son, Johnny's son, decided, well, you know, I want my share.
Yeah.
In other words, he was still with me. So the father, Reverend Larry, you know, the father didn't have to do that. But the father went on and did it anyway. But I think what it was saying was that, you know what, sometimes you just have to learn the hard way. You know what, you don't have to hit rock bottom. You know, in other words, sometimes I can tell you better than I can tell you. You know, so his son decided to pack up everything. He decided that, I'm going to get all the way to all the I can. I got all this money. And he said, when you go far, the Bible didn't say he had any friends, but our brother, Mr. Matthew, how do you know? If you have money, you have many friends. If you have money, you have many things. But they say when you run out of money, sometimes they don't have any money. So you go to the party, start going to be like this, 1999. You would have to. So when they didn't go to the party, there's no such a money. In other words, it's not the money alone.
Thank you.
From our Compass Bible,
it may read a little differently for Radio Land and Congress who do not have this particular Bible. And we're certainly going to get some additional copies for the house really soon. Sister, the 10th chapter of Luke, the 25th to the 42nd verse. Here's the reading of God's word. Just then a scholar of Hebrew scriptures tried to trap Jesus. This is what the scholar said. Teacher, what must I do to experience the eternal life? Jesus answered with a question, what is written in the Hebrew scriptures? How do you interpret their answer to your question? Scholar, you shall love the eternal one, your God, with everything you have, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the scholar said. This is what Jesus said. Perfect. Perfect. Your answer is correct. Follow these commands, and you will live. Follow these commands, and you will live. 29 verse. The scholar was frustrated by this response because he was hoping to make himself appear smarter than Jesus. How could that be? The scholar said, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, and he answered him in a parable. This fellow was traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho when some robbers mugged him. They took his clothes, beat him to a pulp, and left him naked and bleeding in a critical condition. By chance, a priest was going down the same road, and when he saw the wounded man, he crossed over to the other side and passed by. Now, that was the priest. Yes. Then a Levite, a leader in the house of God, who was on his way to assist in the temple, also came and saw the victim lying there, and he too kept his distance. Then a despised Samaritan journeyed by. When he saw the fellow, he felt compassion for him. The Samaritan went over to him, stopped the bleeding, applied some first aid, and put the poor fellow on his donkey. He brought the man to an inn and cared for him through the night. Verse 35, the next day, the Samaritan took out some money, 2 days' wages to be exact, and paid the innkeeper, saying, please take care of this fellow, and if this isn't enough, I will pay you next time I pass through. Which of these three, Jesus is asking him the question now, the one who wanted to appear like he knew more than Jesus, the scholar, he says, which of these three proved himself a neighbor to the man who had been mugged by the robbers? Good question. The scholar said, the one who showed mercy to him. Good answer. Jesus says, well then, go and behave like that Samaritan. Jesus continued from there toward Jerusalem, and he came to another village. Martha, a resident of that village, welcomed Jesus into her home. Her sister, Mary, went and sat at Jesus' feet, listening to him. Meanwhile, Martha was anxious about all the hospitality arrangements. Martha interrupting Jesus, "Lord, why don't you care? Why don't you care that my sister is leaving me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get up and come over here and help me." Can you hear? Probably with her hand on her hip, let her backbone slip. They say. Jesus said, "Oh, Martha, 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 Martha. You are so anxious and concerned about a million details, but really, listen here. Only one thing matters. Mary has chosen to listen to me, that one thing, and I won't take it away from her. And I won't take it away from her." Church, there are two examples here in this passage of Scripture. We find on the outside of the church, the priest, the Levi, acting without compassion. The pastor walked across the street, didn't even go near the man that was wounded and bleeding and laying down, obviously needing help. He probably didn't want to get his robe bloody, dirty, what have you. Amen?
Amen.
The Levite, the other leader, on the way to the church, how many people we pass on the way to the church to serve?
Exactly.
He kept his distance.
Yes.
Can any good thing come out of Samaria? Yes. And so the Samaritan, seeing the man, went and picked up the man and bandaged his wound and took him to an inn and paid for his room and board while he was there, and left some extra money, and if it wasn't enough, when I get back, I will pay you more. He went an extra mile. Of course he did. Well, you might say, "Pastor, maybe, you know, in these days and times, you know, the pastor said, hey, you know, used to be getting involved because I ain't got enough money to put the board up. Well, I need this here money because we got a convention to go through next week, and I'm going to need that money."
Yeah.
Amen. So I can't be helping nobody out today now.
Yeah.
I ain't made it to church to get my offering now. I just can't do it. The leader, Levite, said, "You know, I got to get there first to open up the door and set everything straight for a pastor. So I ain't got time now. I got to get to church. I got to be on time. Don't be messing with me now. You go, somebody else can help you, but I got to go. Let me act like I didn't even see you. Because
yeah.
I need to be on church, to church
yeah.
on time.
Yeah.
Do what I do.
Yeah.
I have to lead this song.
Yeah.
Amen. Whatever. Here's the Samaritan. Matthew, going the extra mile. And I think it's so wise that Jesus told this kind of parable. Because he put a spotlight, as it were, on the church, on the believers, on the ones who's supposed to be, you know, taking care of the widow, the homeless, you know, the person that needs. The Bible says that when you see a need and you have the wherewithal to fulfill that need, it is your obligation to do so. The Samaritans were not known as holy rollers and people who had it going on. They were not, that was not their reputation. In fact, the Jewish people didn't really want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. They considered them dirty. They considered them way on the other side of the tracks. Amen? They considered them heathens. Amen? But here the Samaritan, out of the kindness of his heart, took care of the matter at hand and made provisions for the days to come.
The Bible says that if somebody even asks you for their coat, for your coat, give it to them. The Bible says that we should be kindly affectionate one to another. The Bible says that owe no man nothing but love. Did we miss the sermon on those days, church? I'm going to say, I don't want to get stuck there, but the spotlight is on what? The church. People go, they're quick. Let me tell you, the world is quick to say, and you say you're a Christian. You say you love the Lord. Huh? And you treat me like that? Amen? You see I'm homeless, and you got a mansion, and I can't get one corner in the room? Can you make a pallet out for me in the garage? Can I sleep on your back porch in the patio? Can I sleep in the guest quarters on the outside? Well, can I just sleep in your car tonight? You got a big SUV here with me? Well, what you got that God can use for those who don't have? I just want to know. I want to know if you can be a good neighbor. You're busy trying to be a good Christian. I got that. But I want to know, can you be a good neighbor? State Farm is. Yes. They say. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. But what do I do? Huh? Can you fix a little extra food? Take it down to a bridge and get some out of one of the pork chops that you don't need. Sweet potatoes, cornbread,
yeah.
Hot, with some tea on the side.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Do you wake up in the morning and say, God, I want to be a good neighbor to whoever I see along the way? I'm sure between Sunnydale in Chippenham,
yeah,
somebody has a need.
Yeah.
Huh? Somebody needs something that they ain't got, that God has blessed me with.
Yeah.
Or you the one that don't interrupt my testimony, because I'm talking about God woke me up with the right mind. But did the right mind tell me to go help somebody, make room for somebody?
Yeah.
Huh? Buy somebody else a lunch. Skip your lunch and pay for somebody else's lunch. You can afford it. You looking fine, Georgia Pine, with a little extra on behind. You know what I'm just saying? Huh? We've gotten away from this. We've gotten away from this. We want government to take care of poor folks. And we don't want to do nothing but feed them on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yes. Amen.
And you better get through by noon, serve them dinner. Because
yes.
I got to go home and eat my turkey. Huh? Them ain't my children. I see they have need to be done. I see they need some new clothes, but they ain't mine. She knows she better. She could have been dressing them kids better than that. We sit back and we talk about what people don't have, but we don't do nothing for them.
Yes.
We need to work on being a good neighbor.
Yes.
We just do. She had two or three children. What a dad is. I can't do nothing for her. She's a big time sinner. But Jesus left his eight-room groom brothers and went and sat at a well and waited for a woman who had a wayward lifestyle, turned her into an evangelist.
Yeah.
He was a good neighbor that day.
Yeah.
Me at my well one day.
Yeah.
My good neighbor one day. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm just saying. Well, Dr. V, you can wore that story out. What's the rest of the story? The rest of the story is Jesus left there and went on up to Jerusalem and went to Mary and Martha's house. For them. Before he ate dinner, he's going to start, he's going to sit down and teach a little bit. Mary was listening to every word that fell out of his mouth.
Yes.
She didn't want to budge, Patrice. She sat right there in his foot and just opened up her mouth and, oh, Lord, Jesus, this tastes so good. This tastes better than what the chicken was. That truth tastes good.
Yes. Yes.
Martha in the kitchen, pacing back and forth, doing whatever she do. I'm sure she do good chicken well. I'm sure she wanted to be perfect. I'm sure she wanted to be the table to be set just right.
Yes.
Amen. And instead of her focusing on what she was doing, she was focusing on what Mary was doing.
Yes.
Huh? And in her heart was an issue. I'm working hard. So we're like, Mary doing nothing. She's taking the easy. I can't believe she's sitting down while working. I'm sweating up in here. And she's sitting down with the boys, listening to the word.
Yeah.
How dare she? And how dare Jesus let her sit there? You know how sometimes we go to God, I can't believe you ain't texting them people to make them get up and help me.
Yeah.
Amen? You slow today, Jesus. You should have been there, told Martha to come up and help me. I love Jesus' response. He said, Martha, 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 Martha. You worried about a million and one thing. Mary, realize that man cannot live by bread alone. My God, he's from Zion. But by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. Mary decided, I'm going to fast today, but I'm going to get this word. I know if I went in the kitchen with Martha, she'd probably let me taste a little potato salad and eat a little wing while I'm working.
Yeah.
But I'm going to skip all that, and I'm going to set at Jesus' feet, and I'm going to eat something.
Yeah.
That's going to help me along the way.
Yeah.
It's going to help me figure out what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
I need to sit in this word daily,
amen?
So that I can figure out, amen, what's it all about, Alfie. I need to sit at Jesus' feet so I can figure out what's going on inside of me. Because sometimes I wake up and I ain't in my right mind. Hallelujah. Some days I wake up and it ain't adding up. Hallelujah. Some days I wake up, amen, and I don't know which way is up. Mary needs to sit at Jesus' feet. I'm here to tell you, if you want a good neighbor, want to be a good neighbor, you need to sit at Jesus' feet. You need to listen to some of his wisdom. You need to listen to every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And then when you hear it, then you need to get up and do it. When you hear it, you hear his compassion. When you hear it, you hear how he loves. When you hear it, when you see the blind man, you say, I believe you can see. And you'll put a little mud eye on his eyes and see how the Holy Spirit works through you to make it happen. If you would, sit at his feet and listen for a little while. Amen. He'll tell you how you can be the head and not the tail. Amen. How many of you know that that kind of blessing comes with instruction? Hallelujah. Joshua said it like this. Meditate on it day and night. Don't let this word proceed from your mouth until you just chewed on it. Chew it up like a cow and chew it on some more. Amen. Keep chewing on it until you become it. Hallelujah. Keep chewing on it until you be it. Keep chewing on it until somebody else gets blessed from your actions for what you have become. When you take a little time to sit at his feet, you'll learn how to be a good neighbor. You'll learn how to step up to a critical situation. And whatever you stand in need of, God will make sure you have it. He'll make sure that whatever you spend, it'll be replaced. He'll make sure that you'll have enough to come back and pay any debt you have. I'm talking about learning how to be a good neighbor. said it in speak time. Do the most important thing. Skip a few meals. Let the house look a little shabby for a minute. Come on down. Sit down at his feet. Wake up in the morning at his feet. Skip lunch, get at his feet. Oh, come on now. Before you eat dinner, sit at his feet. Before you go to bed at night, sit at his feet. In the morning, on your way to get where you got to go. If you see somebody, sit wreck, car wreck, heart wreck, you'll know how to stop and give a little compassion. You'll know how to stop and help them out. You'll know how to be like Jesus. You'll have the mind of Christ. You will have the heart of Christ. You will know how to be a good neighbor if you just sit at his feet. Sit at his feet. Open up your ears. Church says, Bible says, those that have an ear, let them hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to the church. We need to listen a little bit more. Be so busy trying to perform, trying to get to the temple to serve, trying to preach, trying to teach, but ain't got no maybe wisdom, no compassion, ain't got no time to drop a dime. But you need to sit from the pulpit to the front door. You need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Learn a little something. Get a little word in you. Then be that word. That's how you become a good neighbor. Let the church say. I said, let the church say. Let the church say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You are the radio land today. You may have listened to this word and go, wow. Wow. Am I a good neighbor? Well, I want to put to you today, before you can become a good neighbor, you just need to enter in to the kingdom neighborhood. Amen. How do you do that, Pastor? You start out by accepting Jesus, the Christ, as your Lord and Savior, the one who hung, bled, and died for you, the one who counted not robbery to go down to hell and snatch the keys from the enemy. Amen. The one who thought it not robbery to bleed out. Amen. So that you could have eternal life. Amen. He became the perfect sacrifice for you. He became the scapegoat. Amen. For you. Amen. So that you might have the right to eternal life. Amen. The Bible says that if Jesus told this scholar, said, if you do these things, amen?
Yes.
If you do these things, and you listen to things he wanted them to do, then you'll live.
Yes.
So I thought I was already living. I've been here a few years, 10,
yes.
20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yes.
Amen. But, son, have you ever had it so good one day after you've been in Christ? Well,
yes.
I thought I was living, Minister Patrice, but I ain't still living until I met Jesus like this. I'm really living now. Amen.
Yes.
He done done for me exceedingly abundantly above what I could think to ask. Amen. I'm really living now. Huh? I was in existence before.
Yes.
But my life in Christ,
yes,
since he died,
yes,
and since he came too,
yes,
that I might have life and have it more abundantly, if you would like to live an abundant life. I invite you, amen, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let him be your King and Lord over your life. Let him become the Lord of your soul, amen. If you believe that he died for your sins, amen, and that he is indeed the Son of God and the only way, amen. Just go to Romans 10, 9, and 10. It'll tell you how to do it. But I'm just saying, you have to accept his way of entering in to the kingdom. And that is through his son. Many people will try to tell you, oh, there's another way. Amen. But is this one way?
Yes.
How many of you know that if you go down a one-way street the wrong way, you're subject to get a ticket,
yes,
and not make it to your destination?
Yes.
I want you to make it to your destination.
Yes.
go down the one-way street the right way, amen, with the right passenger, and that is Jesus the Christ. I invite you to him today. Let him become Lord over your life. If you're in the house today, amen, I don't want to make an assumption. But if you're in the house, in this house, in the love zone present, amen, and you're not sure, absolutely positive, that you have made Jesus, amen, your Savior. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and you want to commit to him your life, if you want to live and move and have your being in him, if you want to sit at his feet and not only learn how to be a good neighbor, but learn how to be a good you, good version of you, amen? The Bible says that God fearfully and wonderfully made us, but then he gave us choice. In his life to live how we want to. But you have made the wrong choice to live any kind of way. And he gave you an open book test to tell you how to live. Open book. You can go into any given chapter. It'll begin to tell you how you live, even if you're reading about how somebody else messed it up, like the prodigal son. You can learn from other people's mistakes how to get right. I don't want to go down that path. I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to be eating hog slop. Amen? I want a good inheritance from my Father, and I want to be a good steward over there. Accept Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. Be the best decision you ever made. And then decide that you're going to live in him. And he's going to live in you. Amen? Decide that you want a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Make that decision today. I implore you to do so. I invite you to do so. We here at Unfailing Love Ministries say we're champions, and champions train the hardest. Amen. And so we'll hear a basic word like we heard today that will build us up, that we can go out and tell somebody, you know what, I was in church on Saturday night, and the preacher just stepped all over my toes, and I was beginning to think how I wasn't being a good neighbor. Not as good as I could be. Amen. And I just realized that I need to take a little time to sit at his feet just a little bit longer, just a little bit more. I ain't sitting at his feet to get a sermon or to teach. I'm sitting at his feet so I can become a better me. Huh? Because I can't give to others who I am not. I have to be the Word. I have to be what the Word says. And that's when I'm at my best. Amen. Amen. If you made that choice today, it's a great choice, and we applaud you for doing that. This has been the teaching and the gospel message, the love script is what we call it for today. I pray that it edifies you in some special way. Amen. Bottom line, we know our mission here is to train up leaders who love. And unless we show you areas in your life, or where you need a little bit more loving, and then how to get there. It's not just to point out that you're not doing it, it's to point out how you get to be about doing it. Just sit at his feet. Read his word. Read it till you see it. See it till you be it. Amen? Amen. Amen. And now, having said all that, everybody's clear about where they are. We want to go and move into an act of love is what I call an action, an act of giving, our tithes and our donations. Amen. And the Bible says, do not despise the day of new beginnings or small beginnings. And we're in our beginning. We're less than a year old as a church body. So we have every opportunity to grow. The way we grow, not only in just hearing the word, but we grow in our giving so that we can have increase. Jabez prayed that God would enlarge his territory and not allow his visibility to harm anyone. And so we're praying here at Unfailing Love that God would enlarge our territory physically so that the building that we're renting for a few hours on Saturday, God will bless us with our own building, amen, so that we will be able to host somebody else who's starting a ministry. Those who know Dr. V, I've always been apostolic in that regard, amen. I've always had a space and enough space for somebody else to come in and build and grow, and we desire that again, amen. It will be our giving and being good stewards over where we are right now that God will bless us. He wants to see how we handle this. Can you handle a lease? Being a leaser, and then I can trust you will be in
leasing, and I can trust you to be a leaser. Amen. That's how you get it. Amen. And so when you're giving today, think about that. I am giving God something to work with. So as he enlarges my territory, amen, our territory, that way, you know, that we will become the instruments of his glory and become good neighbors no matter where he plants us. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to ask our Reverend Gould to come up now and start our giving time. And I want you to open up your bulletins and look on the right-hand side. And for the listening audience, I will also give you the number. If you are leery about bringing or walking around with cash or even your cards, in your leisure, you can text message your giving. Wow, Dr. V, how you do that? You put that number in, which is 804-621-2896. And when you text that number, send that message, all you have to do is put in the amount that you desire to give. When you do that, it'll send you a text message back asking for your email. And when it gets to your email, it will send your email portal that you can fill all of your personal information out from your credit or debit card or what have you. And when you send that back, it will send you back a confirmation that your donation has been made. And it will keep a record of your donation to where at the end of the year, it will automatically send you an email and tell you all that you're giving. I don't care if you're giving $1 or $1,000. It will keep that record for you for your tax purposes or just for the fact. Some people don't even put their tithes in off their own taxes. They just trust God for that. But if you choose to do that, it will be a record. The number again is 804-621-2896. And it is a trusted site. I was the first one. I tested it out the other day. I put a $10 offering into the church. Within 15 minutes, it was up, and I could see that my offering had been taken. There is a very small nominal fee, I think about 45 cents or something like that, honey, that they charge us, but it's for record keeping, that's minimal that they do. Well, Dr. V, I don't really trust all this technology and stuff like that. You can also trust the mailman. We don't mind. You just want to send us a check to Our Family Love Ministries, going into Good Loving Ground. You can do that by sending it to 8542 Sunningdale Terrace, Chesterfield, Virginia, 23832. Again, 8542 Sunningdale Terrace, Chesterfield, Virginia, 23832. Amen. You can also listen to the broadcast again. If I talk too fast for you, you get that. But please know that there are several ways you can give. When you're in the sanctuary, of course, you can give your check or cash. But we ask you to put it in an envelope so that we can have record of it. Okay? And we bless the Lord for your giving. Amen.
Everyone, that has to give all that can be in peace.
Bless the Lord, amen. May we see that? We're going to release our radio audience right now. We thank God for you joining us this Sunday at the Love Zone. We pray that the music ministry, our minister of music, Sister Patrice, bless you. Our Reverend Gould with the leadership lesson, bless you. Yours truly, Dr. V, with the gospel message, bless you as well. And just our entire congregation, we love you.
Yes.
Amen. And we thank God that you joined us in worship today. Invite you back again next Saturday at 6:30 to join us. Until then, why don't you think about and meditate on sitting at the feet of Jesus and becoming a good neighbor? Why don't you meditate on that scripture? What do I do with my inheritance? Let me be a wise son, a daughter. with what God has entrusted me with. Amen. And then when I made a mistake, don't be too ashamed to go back home and say, please forgive me. Let me come back home. Let me serve until I get it together. Amen. Amen. And so, again, until next Saturday at 6:30, may the love of God, the peace of God, rest, rule, and abide over your heart. Amen. And remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he did it for you. And then Romans 8 talks about who shall separate us from the love of God. No circumstance or situation in your life that has come against you can separate you from the love of God. Not even your own mistakes. Amen. God loves you more than that. Amen. God bless you. Good night. Thank you, Lord.